Blog Talk Radio.
Mode One.
I want to rock with you.
You are now listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
In 2007, a very entertaining feature film was released to the public entitled The Bucket List. The movie starred legendary actors Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman as two terminally ill senior citizens who create a list of various things to do and various activities that they want to experience before they pass away. How many of you listening tonight have ever took the time to create your own personal bucket list? What activities would you most love to experience prior to your death? Now, moving away from your own individual desires, what are some romantic and or sexual experiences you would like to have with your spouse, your longtime lover, or your new and exciting sex partner over the next year, 2 years, 3 years, or beyond? My guest this evening has written a book about a bucket list for couples, but it is not just a basic or conventional bucket list, but rather it is a bucket list of 369 highly erotic activities that some couples just might find themselves blushing while reading. My guest feels like this naughty bucket list will do wonders for adding spice and excitement to a couple's sex life. Who is this woman who has sexual creativity to come up with more than a year's worth of activities that are all unique in nature and have the potential to lead to a mind-blowing sex life? Her name is Courtney Jason, and tonight, Ms. Jason is going to describe a good number of her tantalizing bucket list items as Ms. Jason takes time out of her schedule in order to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Is this Roger Curry of Mode One fame? Oh my God,
you're really good at this.
I gotta ask you though, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in the race? You do?
I think they do. I think I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect the woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo! Mode One! This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode One, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
Go.
It might not be the right time, but there's something about us I've got to tell. Some kind of secret I will share with you.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Up Front and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, November 3rd, and I am back after a one-week hiatus. In that 1 week, some Kardashian somewhere got married and divorced. And just the last 2 weeks since I had my last show, I'm betting money that some Kardashian got married and got divorced. Just that quick. I mean, what the fuck, man? Boy, these people, these pseudo celebrities, they just kill me. Getting married for these bullshit reasons and then getting divorced. Yeah. Kim Kardashian, she got married. Now, seriously. Her marriage, do you know, her marriage was only about 3 days longer than my summer hiatus. Because I normally go on break from mid-July to mid-September. Her whole marriage lasted just 3 days longer than my summer hiatus.
Alan, you're stupid.
Man... 72 days. What the fuck is that? But anyway, that's not Kim Kardashian is not the discussion tonight. I am going to be discussing the idea with my guests of a naughty bucket list. Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar with the term bucket list, a bucket list is simply a list of things you want to do between now and the day you die. Anything you want to do that you've never done between now and the day you die would represent a bucket list. And my guest is here tonight to talk about not 5 things or 10 things or 25 things, but her book is about 369 specific sexual acts or sexual scenarios that you can try to perform with your partner from now until the day you die. Now, see, if you were, you know, doing one of these things every day, that's just a little over a year. Now, of course, most people wouldn't do all the things on her bucket list every day. They might do one a week or one a month or one every 2 weeks or one every 6 weeks. But anyway, I can't wait to talk to her about the naughty bucket list. But before I get to that conversation, let me tell you who's coming up in the next 2 weeks. Next week, I will have a woman on my show by the name of Valerie J. Lewis Coleman. And she's going to discuss the forbidden secrets of the goodie box. I really don't know what that's about. So I will anticipate the conversation. The forbidden secrets of the goodie box. See, this week we got the naughty bucket list, and next week we got the forbidden secrets of the goodie box. Somehow they sound kind of interrelated. Then 2 weeks tonight, oh man, I can't wait for this discussion. Now, everybody knows I love to talk about dating and relationships in general. More specifically, I love to talk about anything to do with fucking. A lot of time, anything to do with the exchange of orgasms and fucking. And even more specifically, I love to talk about anything to do with verbal seduction and or talking dirty, which is actually what my next book is about. My next book is called Ooh, Say It Again, Mastering the Fine Art of Verbal Seduction and Oral Sex. Not oral, O-R-A-L, but A-U-R-A-L, sex. But anyway, the guest I'm going to have 2 weeks from tonight, her name is, some people call her the new Dr. Ruth. You know, everybody knows about the infamous or famous sexologist, Dr. Ruth, the older woman. Well, this is a younger woman named who goes by Dr. Ruthie. Her formal name is Dr. Ruthie Neustifter, and she is the author of a book entitled The Nice Girl's Guide to Talking Dirty.
ignite your sex life with Naughty Whispers, Hot Desires, and Screams of Passion. Man, I cannot wait for that show. Why? Because, again, I love anything to do with talking dirty. But number two, if you remember by, what, 3 weeks ago, me and a guest, we got into it on my show. You know, every so many weeks, most of my shows are friendly. Me and my guests laugh together. We share philosophies together. But then at least one out of every 6, 7, 8 shows, I have a contentious exchange with one of my guests. And that happened, if you go back to the show where I talked about the guest who had the little black book of big red flags. This woman had a thing against talking dirty. I mean, she was very, very prudish when it came to the subject of talking dirty. And quite frankly, it pissed me the fuck off. So we went at it. You know, she said I was being crass and disrespectful to women by talking dirty to them in the first conversation. And I was like, basically like, suck my dick. And so it kind of took off from there. And she ended up, though, later, believe it or not, through Facebook, she apologized for not everything she said, but some of the things she said. Like, you know, she had said that I deserve to be slapped. Well, she kind of took that back. And she had said that 99% of women in society would find talking dirty to be disrespectful. She admitted that that was a bullshit statistic that she came up with. So, she at least semi-retracted some shit she said. But anyway, all that to say, yeah, I'm looking forward to the discussion about talking dirty 2 weeks from tonight. I got some of my regulars, not all of them. I'm sure a few of them be traipsing in, but I got some of my regulars in my chat room, such as my number one loyal listener, Adrian, a.k.a. Diva362636. You know what Diva said? See, I already told my listeners, Diva's a big shit talker. You know what she wrote me? She said, if you want to make God laugh, tell him that IU is going to upset Ohio State. I was like, that's cold. That's just that's just fucked up. Then I got my main man, Alex. He can go either one or two directions. Alex, if he likes you, he can be called the Haitian sensation. If you piss him off, he can become the Haitian abomination. So he got that kind of split personality deal. He does not like radical feminists. That's when he becomes the Haitian abomination. Then I got my main man, Aaron2213, in the chat room. I got Lord Lust in the chat room. Lord Lust in the chat room. I got Relationship Buzz in the chat room. And I got a number of guests in my chat. Now, listen to that. Don Calypso said, I don't have a split personality. I'm just evil at times. Hey. That's funny to me.
Alan, you stupid.
Other shout-outs would be my older brother and ace confidant, Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry. My cousins in different cities. I got J.P. Jones, my cousin in Chicago. I got Arthur Ball, my cousin in Maplewood, New Jersey. I got Christopher Curry, my cousin in Detroit. I got Philip Poyam, who I ran into this weekend down in Bloomington, Indiana. Philip Poyam, that's right, close friend of the family. And his older brother is a loyal listener to my show, Irvin Vipoyum the third, EVP 3. Yeah, hung out with Phil Pohl in Bloomington, Indiana. We had a good time. I hadn't seen him in a while. Other shout outs would be Ely Harris, Vanessa Turner, Vila Ammons, Paulina Long, Jason Terry, Darren Collier, Maurice Taylor, Daryl Doc Elliott, and all my female supporters on Facebook. They've been completing a survey for me that's given me feedback in relation to my next book. So thank you to all my female supporters who've been helping me out with my survey from my Facebook female supporters group. Green Bay, I want to say, is the only team in the NFL that's still undefeated. Green Bay. And that's all I got to say about Green Bay because, you know, me being a lifelong Chicago Bears fan, I don't like Green Bay. I mean, I ain't got nothing personal against Aaron Rodgers. He actually acts like a brother to me. He got mannerisms like a brother. But I don't like Green Bay. They knocked the Bears out the playoffs last year, so fuck them. NBA, still no season. Now, this was interesting. I read some excerpt from, I guess Shaquille O'Neal has a book out. And it got some interesting, juicy excerpts. One of them being that he threatened to kill Kobe Bryant. That shit to me that you just don't admit in a book. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. You just don't admit that you just threatened to kill somebody. Because that makes people think, among other things, that you're fucking crazy. You threaten to kill people because they kidnapped your daughter or, you know, they slapped your grandmother. But over the bullshit that he was talking about, you don't threaten to kill people over stupid shit like that. That's just was stupid. Then he called LeBron James a prima donna and said he went out after Pat Riley. I don't know, man. I think some people are going to lose respect for Shaquille. That's just my opinion. I ain't saying that as a fact. That's my opinion. But based on excerpts I read, yeah, some people are going to lose respect for Shaquille because he just got a lot of stupid shit in there, you know, that just makes him look very overreactive. Makes him look like, you know, you can just easily push his buttons. Kim Kardashian, yes, she is getting a divorce. She was married for 72 days, and now she's getting a divorce. See, that's why I got this show right now, upfront and straightforward. You know at least half the reason why I do this show. I've been doing it since 2007. One of the reasons I do a show like Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry is so I can prevent men and women from doing stupid shit like that, from getting married for 72 days and then getting a divorce. That's just stupid. Who does that? I mean, when you get married to somebody and you get divorced to them 72 days later, that means you did not take time to really get to know that person. Or as somebody said in my chat room, that the whole shit was just staged. It was a damn sham. That's what some people have been saying, that the whole marriage was a damn sham for Kim Kardashian to just get that much more attention and for Chris Humphries to become a no-name NBA player, to becoming a semi-no-name NBA player. Who knows? That's just stupid. Herman Cain has got accused of sexual harassment. Now, it's funny. First he said, I have no recollection of sexually harassing women. Then a few days later, he's like, well, okay, I kind of halfway remember. Then a few days later, he's like, okay, yeah, I did ask one woman to suck my dick, but I apologize. Then a few days later, he's like, okay, I fucked one of them, or at least tried to, and she slapped me. And I mean, what the fuck? I mean, just shut the fuck up. Just say, I didn't do it, and shut the fuck up. But like, every two or three days, he's like, oh, wait a minute, okay, I did ask her to jack my dick off, but I was just playing. I told her I was just playing. I mean, what the fuck, man? Hey, it's just stupid, man. I mean,
Alan, you're stupid.
Now he's saying that people are saying he sexually harasses these women because they don't like black people. Man, shut the fuck up with that stupid shit. I mean, just shut up. My best advice to you, Herman K., zip it. Just shut the fuck up. God, he is stupid. And finally, you know my nickname is the King of Verbal Seduction. And some people call me the King of Phone Sex because I've admitted on my show that probably since the early 90s I've had phone sex with probably about, I don't know, roughly 1,500 women. But the phone sex I've had has been like real phone sex, like with, you know, real women, not like 1-900 number type. But I was reading this article today. There's a guy in Albany, New York. Since 2005, he has spent $20,000 on phone sex using government money. Wow. government, not his own money, he was using government money, spent $20,000 on phone sex since 2005. Wow. That just blows my mind. I mean, I don't know, man. See, you know, in the late 80s, I did a handful of those 1-900 things, and the women sounded so phony and scripted. They talk like this. Hey, Ralph, what do you have on, Ralph? I bet you're naked, aren't you? See, when you talk like that, you're not going to get nobody hard. I mean, but I guess this guy fell for it. Spent $20,000. That's like about a Honda Accord, ain't it? That's something. Anyway, when we get back, we're going to get the conversation started. About the naughty bucket list. So don't go anywhere. I will be right back.
Can you feel the tension? You know what's coming up next, don't you? You all know what's coming up next. So, what can I tell you? I'm excited. I'm standing backstage and I'm all jittery. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. What can I tell you? I read this guy's book about 2 years ago, and this is some of the most powerful shit I've read. The guy's mind-blowing. He's got a radio show. He's been all over the place. He's got crazy fans. He's amazing at what he does. He loves helping people as well. This guy will go on for hours and hours, even if it's like one person or 100 people. He doesn't give a shit. He'll stand there and he'll help people and help them and help them and just keep it. And he loves this stuff. He's passionate about it. He changed my life. He's changing everybody's life in the room and thousands of people. And he's amazing. I'm really happy. I consider him one of my mentors. I love the guy. Please go crazy for Alan Roger Curry.
To know what you said to the Japanese girl on roller skates.
I went up to her. I said, "You got a talent for this rollerblading thing." And that was probably the only moment when she was smiling. She was like, "Yes, I love to rollerblade." I said, "Well, to be quite frank with you, I didn't give a fuck about rollerblading." I said, "Your ass looks so juicy in that, what is that, spandex?" And she was like, "Oh my God, I mean, would you just come to Venice Beach to just look at women's asses?" I was like, "Is that a trick question?"
Please visit www.mode1.net for more information on the Direct Approach Dating Summit 2010 DVD. Are you an expert and or book author who offers men and women products and services related to dating and relationships? If you have a new product, a valuable service, or upcoming event or speaking presentation that you would like to advertise on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network that is guaranteed to hit your target demographic audience, then look no further than Blog Talk Radio's number one talk radio podcast program for active dating singles. Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry has had more episodes ranked number one in the category of romance, dating and relationships, love and sex, and overall self-help for singles than any other talk radio podcast program on the entire Blog Talk Radio network since January of 2008. I will help you advertise any product, service, or event that is designed to help men and women improve their love lives, sex lives, and overall social lives. Please write me at Blog Talk Radio Advertising at mode1.net. That's MODEONE.net. Don't wait. Do it now.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here
on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. My guest for the evening resides in Sacramento, California, and she graduated from California State University in Chico, California, and she began her career writing about sex as well as dating relationships in general. She was once named one of the top 40 college-level columnists in the country while writing for her school newspaper, The Onion, at her alma mater. And she later spent 3 years in New York City writing for 17 Magazine and Twist Magazine, where she offered a lot of PG-13 type advice. See, I used to be PG-13 before I went to the dark side. She used to give PG-13 advice to teenagers and young adults. My guest now works as a senior managing editor for Life2.0.com, which is an online resource guide for 20-somethings. And also, she contributes sex and relationship advice to manshealth.com. On behalf of the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and Upfront and Straightforward, listeners, give it up for Miss Courtney Jason. Courtney, can you hear me?
Yes.
There you go. There you go. There you go. Okay. Okay, now I'm seeing people in my chat room. They said, Alan, your mic is dead. Can you hear me, guys?
Let
me
know
in the chat room if you can hear me and my guest, Courtney Jason.
Hi, Alan.
How you doing, Courtney?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
Oh, I'm hyped to talk about your naughty bucket list. See, you're the kind of guest I love, because anything with words like naughty and nasty and, you know, that type of thing, sexy, seductive.
It's all fun.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Prudes, I don't get along with the prudish types, and... But if you listen, you know, people who like to fuck and they like talking about fucking and writing about fucking. Oh, that's one of my little lighthearted rules I got to tell you, Courtney. As much as possible, you can't just say sex on my show. Whenever you would normally say sex, you got to replace it with fucking, because that's what my listeners are used to, talking about
fucking.
Okay,
I will try.
Okay, speaking of fucking, what made you want to write columns and offer advice that relate to orgasmic pleasure and fucking?
Well, it actually started when I was in college. I had written for the news section of our college paper, and I had written features, and it was my last semester of college, and I didn't want anything with too much responsibility, so I pitched the sex column to my editor, and they went for it, and it grew drastically it gained a lot of popularity in 15 weeks, and I was contacted by MTV about my column and by Dr. Drew and Trojan Condom, so it really sort of turned my potential journalism career in a whole new direction.
Wow, so you just basically just blew the fuck up is what happened.
I wouldn't say that, but I like hearing it.
No, that's real cool. Okay. And so how did you like living in New York City?
It was awesome. I was there for about 3 years, and it was just a very different experience than living in a small town called Chico in California.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Chico. I used to live in California, and not near Chico, but I lived in L.A., but yeah, I had some friends that actually had... that were from Chico area.
Yeah, it's a fun town.
Okay, so you were given some PG-13 type advice. What's some of the top advice you gave that really resonated with the teenagers and young adults?
You know, I wrote an article about how to kiss, so it was really, really PG, like starting out, you know, little girls are starting to be boy crazy, and I got to interview Justin Bieber a couple times, so then naturally I had to ask him about his first kiss, and it was very innocent stuff, but, you know, lessons that you would take for the rest of your life.
Okay. Let me give a few quick shout-outs to those who enter my chat room late. I got Black Man USA in my chat room. I got Christian Davis in my chat room. I got my younger cousin, Hypestyle, from Detroit, and the others I had already mentioned earlier. And Christian Davis writes, Courtney is cute. What's up, Courtney? Look at you. See, you got one of my male listeners jocking you already. Boy, I tell you. Now,
oh my gosh.
What made you come up with the idea of the naughty bucket list?
There wasn't anything out there yet. And it's just a nice, like, one-spot shop to really have every wild fantasy that any person could ever have in one spot. So no matter how prude or, you know, kinky you are, you can turn to a page and find something that you would like.
Now, at this point, this is when you're supposed to say, Alan, I bet you're really kinky.
Alan, I bet you're really kinky.
Ooh, say it again.
I don't think I can.
Oh, you let me down. That's actually the title of my next book, believe it or not. It's called Ooh, Say It Again. That's my signature phrase when it comes to talking dirty is Ooh, Say It Again. But so you say it got something for a little bit of everybody. Old, young, prudish, kinky. Okay.
Yeah, speaking of old, my great aunt bought a copy of my book, and she was flipping through it, and she emailed my mom saying that while she might be too old to try these now, she has certainly checked off quite a few in her lifetime.
Wow.
So that was a pretty good compliment.
Okay, so grandma was getting freaky in her day. I like that. That's cool. Okay. Well, I guess this is going to be a pretty straightforward interview because I guess most of my questions are going to be simply related to what are some of these 300. Now, first of all, what made you come up with that number? Like, how come you didn't pick 250 or 450 or, you know, where did you come up with 369? Oh, wait a minute. I just 69.
69, and we wanted more than 365, like number of days in a year, so 69 worked out pretty well.
Yeah, 69 is the most sexual number there is. Okay, so Courtney likes the 69 position. Now, you know what, this might not be the greatest correlation, but when I was thinking about your book, one movie I kind of sort of thought of, did you see 9 1/2 weeks with Mickey Rourke and Kim Basinger?
I have not, no.
Oh, Courtney, you got to see that movie. That is,
I'll put it on my to-do list.
Yeah, that's the movie to see. Like, if it came out now, honestly, it wouldn't get that much press because it would kind of be not that big a deal, but at the time it came out, I want to say in 86 or 87, that was probably arguably one of a movie that was the closest to being a porno movie without being a porno movie.
Okay.
It was considered very risque, very, you know, on the edge of being sexually explicit, but without giving away too much of the plot for those that haven't seen it, in a kind of small, indirect way, they kind of operate on a, I don't know if I would call it a bucket list, because bucket list is usually stuff you specifically want to do before you die. And that was not the objective, but throughout the course of the movie, they kept doing things that were kinkier, and then they would kind of, each activity would kind of go up a level of kinkiness.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very interesting movie. So when you got some free time, watch 9 1/2 weeks with Mickey Rourke and Kim Basinger. And, yeah, okay, since we got a lot of time, speaking of going to the next level, this is what I'm going to kind of do. I'm going to start with some, ask you about a few of the kind of what I would call PG-13 level things. And then by the end of the show, we're going to go all the way up into triple X. So starting with PG-13, give me about 3 to 5 out of your 369 things to do on a naughty bucket list.
Okay, let's see. I think simple stuff where you could start is just like touching your partner more, like something like a hot oil massage, or you know, just making eye contact when you're fucking.
When you're what?
When you're fucking.
Ooh, say it again.
Fucking.
Ooh, okay, go ahead.
So it's just things like that that puts the intimacy back in the relationship, I think. I mean, when you're in a relationship, you never want to be in a sex rut. So I hope this book can help couples and, you know, be a sort of addition to counseling if people need that. But it's just something that is fun. What else is something PG-13? Using like a feather to feel each other's bodies. It's something that's so light, but it's a really intense feeling at the same time. Simple stuff like that.
That sounds very interesting.
Yeah.
A feather. Okay. Now, you know, that is what I like about the concept of your book, is because one of the type of discussions I've had on this very show is discussions that center around how can you keep, say, a long-term relationship or a marriage, prevent it from becoming stale. And because, you know, that's one of the challenges of people who've been in, say, you know, 10-year, 15-year, 20-year relationships, is trying to keep the sex, you know, really spicy. And
okay.
I think your book, you know, I haven't read it yet, but I've kind of just browsed through excerpts, and just the whole notion of it, the premise of it, seems like it would be geared towards helping a couple, because they would be thinking to themselves, wow, we got something new and different to try, you know, a week from now, then 2 weeks from now, then 3 weeks from now.
Exactly. Like, what I think is, if you're too shy to, like, bring up what you want to try, you can easily just leave the book open on the counter and your partner will walk by and see it and automatically be intrigued. Or you can take turns highlighting the different dares that you want to try. And then there you go. Wherever you guys have both highlighted dares, then that's what you can do right away.
Well, it just hit me, though. I have to ask you a question. Are you, what are you in, like, your 20s, 30s?
I'm
25. 25. Oh, you're a baby.
I'll be 26 in 2 weeks.
Okay, well, then, of course, that begs the question, how many of these 369 ideas have you actually lived out yourself?
That question, I always expect it to come up, but I have a terrible answer. I haven't even counted how many I have done.
You haven't counted?
I haven't counted. I've done a few, but certainly there, I expect there to be more experienced people out there.
Okay, now see, you know, I gotta challenge you, because what if one of your ideas, some couple does it and says, oh my God, now my partner is kind of like traumatized because we did XYZ activity. You didn't tell us it was going to have these repercussions. And you say, well, I didn't know because I didn't try it. I just like thought it up. Now, did you get some of these from maybe like older friends, relatives, acquaintances, or you just kind of brainstormed and came up with all of them?
It's a mixture. Some of them came from things that my friends have done. One of my best friends, one of the dares in the book is have sex on your roommate's bed, and she had done that, like, because her roommate was talking about what a nice bed.
Wait, time out. You just violated one of my rules that quick.
Yeah.
What on her roommate's bed?
Fucked on her roommate's bed.
Oh, say it again.
She fucked on her roommate's bed.
Okay.
So her roommate kept talking about what a nice brand new bed he had, and so as a little, you know, inside joke with her boyfriend, she went and did it on their bed. on his bed.
Okay, okay. All right, so we give me one or two more in the PG-13 category, then we're going to move up to R.
Let's see. Well, Halloween did just happen, so if you have any costumes lying around, you can do a little role-playing with that. What else? You can, if your partner has a white button-down T-shirt, a woman can put that on and automatically look sexy no matter what she looks like. That's just something every man likes, is a woman in a white button-down shirt with nothing else on. You know, it's just like the element of surprise, like going out of your way to seduce your partner is where a lot of these come from.
Okay, okay, okay. Now let's move up to R-rated level activities. And what would you say are four or five activities from your bucket list that you would put a R-rated tag on?
In a Ferris wheel. That would be a little risque, especially since there's people around and there's always the sign that says no rocking. But, you know, rules are meant to be broken.
No, you talk about doing what in a Ferris wheel? Fucking?
Hooking up in some way.
What?
More than just making out.
That's bold. I've done some bold shit in my life. I don't know if I would have even fucked in a Ferris wheel. Wow, that's shoot. That's bold. Okay. What else?
You could do a game. It's in the book called Sexy Show and Tell. So you obviously know, like in kindergarten, that's game that classes play every week. So now you just have a little dirty take on it where you would show a body part of yours to your partner and then explain what you would want done to it and then repeat.
Okay. Now, have you played this game?
I have not, but it sounds fun.
Oh, boy, you got this cute little voice. It cracks me up. Okay, give me another activity.
You can do a sexy film festival. I'm big into movies, minus not having not seen 9.5 weeks. But you could take turns with your partner to pick movies that are known for their racy sex scenes. And then, you know, it's sort of fun to see how long it'll take before you guys put on your own show.
Okay, well, let me ask you, since you're a movie buff, I don't believe you because you haven't seen 9.5 weeks. Because I'm a huge, all my close friends know, I'm a huge movie buff. What would you rank as your top three hottest scenes you've seen in a movie that wasn't just a flat-out porno, like either NC-17 or R-rated movie?
Well, some of them are super cheesy and relate back to me being a 13-year-old girl. Like when I saw Titanic, I'm pretty sure I saw that movie in the theaters at least 7 times. But when they're in the car, it's so hot and the windows get all steamy and she puts her hand up on the window. Like every girl was obsessed with that when I was, you know, however old I was when that movie came out. So while being in a car and fucking isn't the most comfortable place, it's still really hot and steamy.
What's still really hot and steamy in a car?
Fucking.
Oh, say it again.
Fucking in a car is hot and steamy.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Oh, that's number one.
That movie Unfaithful with Diane Lane, they have some pretty hot sex scenes in that movie.
Yeah, I saw that. Well, who are you talking about? Her with her husband or her with the guy
with her,
she's cheating with?
The guy she's cheating with, of course.
Oh, yeah. Now, I ain't going to lie. That, the one in the bathroom, that was fucking hot as shit. And
yeah.
That was pretty hot. Yeah, but that movie, man, I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen it, but that was a deep movie. That was a very...
Yeah, it got a little heavy.
Okay, that's number two. Okay, give me one more. What's a hot sex scene from a movie?
It goes more on the sweet side and the more, like, making love. And I would have to say in The Notebook, and they're in the empty house. It's like more sweet.
Oh, see, I don't like that. Matter of fact, somebody just wrote in my chat room. They said, "Alan, please keep making her say fucking." yeah. No, that was a good movie, though. No, I love The Notebook. That, I mean, that's almost every woman I know loved that movie, and even half the guys I know love that movie. But I can't say any scene in there was really per se hot. I'm trying to think of my. I don't even know if I have my own scene in a mainstream movie. The movie I'm thinking of right off the top of my head, I can't even think of the title, but this actress, she used to have this very unique, raspy voice. God, what is her name? I almost want to say Hemingway, but I know that's not right. Muriel Hemingway or something. Mm-hmm. But she was in this movie, and she gets smart with this guy, and he just kind of throws her up against this office door and lifts up her skirt and just starts fucking her. Oh, man, that shit was hot. That shit was hot. Another similar scene was what was that movie with Michael Douglas? God, what was that movie? And he was with this brunette. I cannot think of the name of that movie. And he bends her over the couch after an argument and starts fucking her doggy style. And then he just, like, walks out. Oh, man. See, that shit. See, yeah, as you can tell, some of my flavor. I like shit where, like, a woman is either acting like a bitch or being either really smart mouth or just in an argument, and then somehow it segues into fucking. Mm-hmm. That's hot too. Oh, I'll tell you a scene that was hot. This is not fucking, but this is just bold. I like ballsy shit. Did you ever see this movie called Internal Affairs?
No.
With Richard Gere and Andy Garcia?
I don't think so.
Oh, man. That is a good, that one is a really good movie. It's a good movie. And, but Tennessee is really scandalous to see that I'm about to describe. But it was still hot again because. Are you familiar with my book, Mold One?
No, I'm not.
Okay, well, to give you the 30-second background on my book, I have a book out called Mold One, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking. And essentially, my book encourages men to express their sexual desires, interests, and intentions to women in a very bold, fearless, upfront, straightforwardly honest type manner. That's where the name of the show comes from, upfront and straightforward. So if a guy was, say, to meet you at a party, and he very boldly was like, "Oh, Courtney, you are sexy as fuck. I want to fuck the shit out of you." That would be an example of a guy being mode one. As opposed to him, say, beating around the bush and talking to you about your sister's dog and all that bullshit. But anyway, going back to the movie, Internal Affairs, there's Richard Gere plays this, like, crooked cop. And he gets hired. This guy wants to hire him, of all things, to kill his parents. And so the husband is sitting on one side, let's say the north side of this round table. And then Richard Gere is sitting on the south side of this same round table at this restaurant. And the guy's wife is sitting to Richard Gere's right. So he's listening to this guy describe the plans to kill his parents. And while he's listening, he just boldly starts, first he just starts rubbing the guy's wife's thigh, inner thigh. And she gives him a look like, "You motherfucker, like, how dare you just start rubbing my thigh?" But she doesn't stop him. But she gives him a look like, "I can't believe you're doing that shit." And so he's still listening. Then he transitions from just rubbing her inner thigh into slowly but surely finger fucking her. And the look on her face while he's finger fucking her is just like classic. And she ends up telling her husband, she says, yeah, sometimes you just have to have balls. And it's just a classic scene. If you like bold shit like I do, that scene, it ain't too many scenes I've seen in a movie that just top that. But anyway, right now I'm going to take a quick break, but we're going to come right back and ask Courtney more examples. Of course, we can't cover even half of those 369, but we're going to cover quite a few more. I want to cover one or two more under the R category. Then we're going to move up to what I would call X-rated or NC-17, soft porn type. Then the final category would be just triple X hardcore. But if you want to call in and give us an example of something on your sexual bucket list, call in to 646-478-5710. Then press the number 1. That lets me know you have something to say. And then we will take it from there. So if you want to either ask Courtney a question about her book or describe something that either in the past has been on your naughty bucket list or something you want to do in the future that's on your naughty bucket list, let us know. But in the meantime, I'm going to take about a 3.5-4 minute intermission break so my guests can get a swig of water, and I'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, I'm Dangerfully. And you may have read my short story, To Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Tackle Flavor 2, presented by Bang. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous. Mode 1.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Score Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Alexandra Cunahawkins, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist. So I'm getting treated for
my sex with me. This is Nikki Trum, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Ambrosia Cumming, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
Ain't a little wet behind the ears to be running your mouth for. You don't really want me to run in your house.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.net. All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310. 310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best-looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially, the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that. Hey,
buddy. Thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Now return to my interview with author Courtney Jason on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, and tonight we're talking about the naughty bucket list. My guest is book author and dating and relationships columnist Courtney Jason, who's just a baby. She's like 25 years old, but yet she has the wisdom and creativity to write this book called The Naughty Bucket List 369. Got to emphasize that, 69 sexy dares to do before you die. And so I've already, I told her I was going to ask questions kind of in four different tiers based on like movie ratings. So we started with PG-13. Now we're on R. I want one or two more examples from R-rated. Then we're going to move up to NC-17. Then finally we're going to wrap up with just triple X hardcore. But give me one or two examples of R-rated things to do on the bucket list.
Well, I think a personal favorite would be in the shower, because getting clean has never felt so dirty. You know, there's water spraying everywhere, sudsy soap, there's steam. It's got a perfect combination to get a little freaky.
Oh, instead of getting freaky in the shower. So while you're cleaning, you would also be doing what?
Fucking.
Oh, say it again.
Fucking in the shower.
Oh, that's hot. Okay. And give me finally one more in the R-rated category.
It kind of takes it back a little bit. You know, like when you're younger, before you've started fucking, you would do like everything but. So an everything but hookup session would really bring up the intensity. And, you know, it's kind of interesting to see how long you could last before you had to, you know, go all the way.
Now, you know, I have to give you credit there, Courtney. That's a good one. Because
thank you.
I have to admit that, you know, I think all of us, at least maybe, I don't know, once a year, twice a year, once every 2 years or so, we reminisce back to like when we were teenagers and did some sneaky things like, you know, make out in the back of the car, that type of thing. But I can name probably at least a handful of experiences I had where, like you said, I did everything but fuck. I would even go as far as say I did everything but fuck and get my dick sucked. But it was still hot, like just like, say, dry humping and grinding. And you to use the infamous baseball analogy, you got up to maybe second base or third base, but you didn't go home run. Yeah, that's
it's sort of the fun. Forgotten forgotten pleasures. You know, you just go right past them because you want to get the end result, but there can be so much fun to be had up until there as well.
Yeah, because I know, matter of fact, a guy who's listening right now, my close friend, EVP3, was encouraging me to do a show, and this is kind of, I guess, indirectly related. He was saying, and I totally agree with him, that a lot of men, compared to women, don't put a lot of emphasis on foreplay. A lot of men, they just want to get to the entree, which is fucking and having an orgasm. But a lot of women, you guys can do like an hour, 2 hours just of foreplay. And so he was telling me once to do a show that just emphasized foreplay. What's your thoughts just generally on foreplay?
It's, I don't know, sometimes the appetizer is better than the entree.
Ooh. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what a lot of women say. Okay. Well, now, moving on, and a reminder, if you want to call in and either ask Courtney a question or you want to tell us one of the things on your bucket list, you can call in to 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710, and press the number 1. That way I know you want to talk as opposed to just listen, because a lot of people call into my show and they just want to listen instead of listening through their computer. Okay, now let's move up to X-rated / NC-17. Give me 3 to 5 examples of things from your naughty bucket list that would fall into that category.
Let's see. I like, okay, so it's a little take on oral sex where you would pop a mint in your mouth while doing it, and it just gives a little tingly sensation.
Mm-hmm.
And an ice cube works as well, and that's a nice mixture of the hot and cold.
Oh, yeah, I know about the ice cube. Oh, I got turned out on that a few years ago. That and Altoids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. See, now you get my dick hard, Courtney. Okay, give me another example of NC X-rated NC-17 bucket list activity.
In the book, it's called The Mirror Check. So you would fuck in front of or under a mirror, and it's sort of like the original sex tape where you don't have to worry about your video getting out, but you can watch yourself and you get that, you know,
you can
voyeurism and exhibitionism without getting, you know, your video out in the public.
You can watch yourself doing what?
Fucking.
Oh, say it again.
You can watch yourself fucking.
Oh, you sound so hot saying that. I got to be nosy. Have you done that quite a few times, fucked in front of a mirror or under a mirror?
No comments.
She said no comments. Okay. All right, I'll let you keep some of your bucket list experiences to yourself. Okay, give me a third NC-17 X-rated tier bucket list activity.
It might be a little too cold to do this one now, but, I mean, some people might be into that. In the dirt, because, I mean, the phrase getting dirty had to come from somewhere. So anywhere outside, I think, is good. Just getting it out of the bedroom is key to a healthy sex life.
Wow, now that's an interesting one, because I got to be honest, I don't think I've ever done yes and no. I've never fucked in the dirt, like kind of like soil type dirt. But I fucked in the sand at the beach. So I have,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I fucked in the sand before. But I'm pretty funny about dirt. I don't want no I don't want no dirt on my body and shit while I'm fucking. Okay. Give me another one, Courtney.
kitchen counter.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, I've been there. Okay.
That's just a whole lot of passion. I feel like if you do it on the kitchen counter, it just comes from, like, an impulse and a basic human instinct to just, like, have your partner right then and there. And there's something really sexy about that.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. That's funny. I talk about that in my upcoming book, those terms you just used. You said instinct and raw impulses. Yeah. Isn't fucking hot when you just let that take over your raw desires and your spontaneous impulses?
It's nothing compares to it.
Yeah, I agree. I want to give a shout-out to Jennifer Green. Ex-Sultan is in my chat room. Green Beasley is in my chat room, along with some of my regulars, Aaron 2213, Black Man USA, Christian Davis, Diva 362636, my younger cousin, Hype Style, Lord Lust, and a few guests. And give me just one final one from that tier, the NC-17 X-rated tier.
You can have a sexy photo shoot with your partner. So, you know, take pictures of each other, making love to the camera.
Wait. Doing what to the camera?
Making love to the camera, not like literally, but more figuratively, and then it would turn literally into fucking.
It would turn into what?
Fucking.
Oh, say it again.
It would turn into fucking.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
So it's a nice little foreplay, something different, you know. Sexually take off an item of clothing and take a new photo with your partner.
Okay, I'm feeling that. Okay. All right. Callers, again, if you want to ask Courtney a question or you have a bucket list activity of your own to talk about that you either have done, say, in the last few years or you want to do in the upcoming years, call in 646-478-5710. 646-478-5710. Now, I'm trying to think. Let me think. I'm pretty open on my own show about stuff I've done and or would do. What would be something that I've done that would probably make it on somebody's bucket list? I would have to say getting your dick sucked while you're at work. Is that anything close to that in your book?
There's definitely stuff like at work in the, you know, like utility closet or before or after work. A personal favorite is to do it on, like, I have a lunch hour quickie. So, you know, say you have 30 minutes or an hour for your lunch break, so you zip on home, get a little action, and head back to work with a nice smile on your face.
Yeah, nothing like that. Come back from lunch, smile on your face. Yeah. Let me think of something else that I've done that's interesting. Well, I'll tell you something that almost got my ass fucking arrested. So I don't recommend this. I got my dick sucked in LAX airport in the stairwell. I was mode one with this woman and got her wet. And she grabbed my wrist and took me to the stairwell and was sucking my dick like she owed me money. And then two security guards came out of nowhere and almost fucking arrested my ass. But luckily, I got out of it. But anyway, give me one or two more examples from the NC-17 category.
You could go for easy access, so, you know, make sure the woman is wearing a dress or a skirt, and maybe she's commando as well, and then you can have her anytime, anywhere. And sometimes it just takes too long to get naked.
I heard that. Matter of fact, you know, I have to confess, I have a thing for. Matter of fact, I think a lot of guys do. I actually, in many cases, get more turned on fucking a woman with an article of clothing on than I do fucking a woman fully naked. I love for a woman to either have on something as minuscule as a bra or, like you mentioned, that white shirt, either like a shirt, T-shirt, mm-hmm. blouse, skirt.
A sports jersey.
Yeah. Or sometimes I like if a woman's wearing tight jeans, just like to slide the jeans down to maybe her knees or her ankles and fuck her from behind. That shit is fucking hot. Matter of fact, I took a human sexuality class in college, and that's what our professor said. He said we were getting ready to go to a nudist colony, nudist camp, and he gave us the option to go there naked, and believe it or not, the guys voted against it. Pissed me off. The women were down, and the guys weren't. I was like, what the fuck? But anyway, we were joking how the guys started joking about how we were going to be walking around with, you know, hard dicks. The professor said, no, actually, that's not true. He said, surveys have shown that men actually get more turned on by seeing women in bikinis and lingerie and sexy clothing than they do women just fully naked. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. So you can understand why Victoria's Secret is making a lot of money, because, yeah, we like some. But, yeah, I know that's a personal thing of mine. I like the little piece of clothing. Again, if you want to call in, 646-478-5710. I'm going to take another intermission, quick. 3-minute, roughly, intermission. But before I do, as my listeners know, whenever I have a guest, male or female, but particularly female, I always have to get them to take the title of my book, Mode 1, and stretch out the O's. So, Courtney, instead of just saying Mode 1, I want you to say Mode 1 in your sexiest voice.
Oh, God. Whew, let me not laugh for this one.
Yeah, don't laugh. Be sick.
Mode 1.
Alan Roger Curry.
You're up front and straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
Listeners, I'll be right back in roughly 3 minutes after this intermission break. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, I'm Dangerously, and you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times bestselling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, presented by Zane. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward and Mode 1 fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Mode 1.
Do you think that guys, to one degree or another, have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also letting you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to, you know, I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
You know, there's more single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, really? I didn't know
that. It's over 51%. Yeah.
There's more what?
Okay.
There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
Mindset is correct. Somewhere there's a woman that's balanced, that's God-focused, that, you know, she gives because she wants to give, not because she's trying to hook somebody with her giving, but she values herself. She recognizes her good qualities, acknowledges her bad qualities, and this is the person that's balanced and ready to be in a healthy relationship.
Just so listeners know, there's a letter in my first book, Letters to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book, and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, and he said, and you know what? I found my swagger, and now all the girls like me like you said they would. I was so tickled by that, yeah.
Oh, man, you got to love it. Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Now return to my interview with author Courtney Jason on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the number one talk radio podcast program on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network for dating and relationships and active dating singles. I have still in my chat room, I got Christian Davis, Adrian, a.k.a. Diva, 362636, Black Man USA, my main man, Nohad, a.k.a. Metal Haze from Canada. I got Love and Light. Welcome. And Lord Lust, my younger cousin, Hype Style, and a number of guests. If you're just tuning in, I've been talking to this very perky, charismatic, charming young lady by the name of Courtney Jason. And she started writing when she was young and got a lot of accolades for her writing. And she has written a book entitled The Naughty Bucket List, 369 Sexy Dares to Do Before You Die. Now, what I've been doing with Courtney is, since she has 369 dares in there, of course we can't cover all of those. We can't even cover half of those. I don't even think we can cover a fourth of those in one interview. But what I've been asking her to do is give me roughly five examples of her sexy dares in different tiers. So we started off in the PG-13 tier, then we went up to the R-rated tier, then we went up to the X-rated / NC-17 tier. Now I want to hear about
5 to 10 examples that would fall into the triple X. In other words, the people who are the prudish types, they would probably try to stay away from these stairs. This is for the really free-spirited, open-minded, ultra-kinky types, like myself, of course. So, yeah, I want to hear about 5 to 10 examples of triple X-rated sexy dares to do before you die.
Okay, well, first, I don't think we can really talk about this list without mentioning getting caught. I mean, you said you've been caught in your airport story. And really, if you try any of the dares on this list, getting caught is bound to happen. And, I mean, some people might become extremely embarrassed and others will just laugh it off. But the best advice, too, is my best advice is just to quickly get dressed and then run.
Okay, well, give me an example of a situation you suggest in your book that was more than likely. Now, I'll be honest. I have a thing for exhibitionism.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I mean, there's so many public places that you could find a dark corner.
So, give me one of yours. Give me an example of something that you recommend that there's a greater than 50% chance that these people would get caught.
In a mall photo booth. How about that one?
A mall shopping mall? Now, that's ballsy.
You'd also get pictures of it.
Ooh. Pictures of doing what?
Fucking.
Ooh, say it again.
Fucking in a mall photo booth.
Man, you got to tell my listener, say, I love fucking.
What was that?
I said, you got to tell my listening audience, say, I love fucking.
I don't think I could.
Oh, quit being bashful. Your grandmother not listening tonight. We've been talking about fucking all show, and now she can't say she love fucking. You've been talking about, you've been writing about fucking since you were in college. So you got to live fucking. Just say, I love fucking.
I love fucking.
Ooh, sick.
I love fucking.
Okay. Now, we got one photo mall shopping booth. What's the second one on your list that's really racy and kinky and would make the prude types blush?
Well, I think there's only two people in the country who could really check this one off their naughty bucket list, and that would be the president and his wife, because in the White House is definitely in the book. And I don't think too many of us would get away with that without getting arrested.
Wow. Now, that's deep. Yeah, I don't think anybody really could fuck in the White House other than... Yeah, the president, first lady, and whoever else. I don't know all the people who share the White House. I guess the vice president and his wife could. But damn, yeah, now that's. I give extra 10,000 brownie points to anybody who pulls that shit off. That's a motherfucker right there. Okay. Okay, give me number three.
It's a classic, the restaurant table hand job.
The say that again?
The restaurant table hand job. You know, you're sitting in a restaurant and you have a long tablecloth on the table and you do a little action underneath the table and no one has a clue.
Oh, that's hot. So the woman would be stroking a dick, right?
Yes.
Okay, say that. Say the woman would be stroking a dick.
The woman would be stroking the dick.
Oh, say it again.
The woman would be stroking the dick.
Well, that happened to me. The last time something like that happened to me was, I've had that happen a few times, but the most memorable one was in L.A., actually, when I lived in L.A. They had this club called the Century Club. Nice, upscale club, pretty diverse clientele. Whites, blacks, Hispanics come there, very middle class. Anyway, they had this section of all these, if you weren't dancing, you could either hang out near the bar they had in there, or they had like these medium-sized white round tables with white or I shouldn't say the tables were white, but they had white, you know, tablecloths on them. And then one time I was there, I met this woman. We had been dancing and grinding. And, yeah, she got ballsy with me. She started grabbing my dick through my pants on the dance floor. And I was like, wow, you are a freak, aren't you? And she just smiled and giggled. And then she said, let's just sit and talk. So we go to sit and talk. And while we're talking, this same bold woman just starts unzipping my pants and pulls my dick out underneath the table and strokes me off. And it was the hardest thing because there's all these people around and none of them, I don't think anyway, knew what we were doing. And I was trying my best to keep like a, what I would call a normal face. But yeah, she was stroking the shit out of my dick. So anyway, but yeah, that's pretty hot there, Courtney. Okay, that was number three. Let's go to I'm still tripping on number two though. Fucking in the White House, man. You gonna get somebody? See, this is what I'm talking about when I was talking about stuff you got in the book that you know good and well you didn't try yourself. You're gonna get somebody shot in the White House. They're gonna be on CNN. Yes, a couple, Mr. and Mrs. Chikinsky, were in the White House. They started fucking and they got shot.
Well, there is a disclaimer in the first couple pages of the book, so I am not liable for that.
Somebody texted me, my good friend, he said you could conceivably fuck in the White House if you were invited to sleep over by the president. And so that's a good point.
Interesting.
Okay, number four on the triple X rated category.
It's an all-encompassing one, so fetishes, you know, whether it's toe-sucking or S&M, all of those are in the book, you know, dressing up in a vinyl costume or a whole lot of rubber.
Wow, now that's freaky-deaky.
That's when you've got to be comfortable and be able to talk about it.
I don't think I've done anything. I've done a lot of stuff, but I can honestly say I don't think I've done anything like that. Dressing. Because, you know, I heard there's this fetish where some people, and they had this on an episode of CSI one time, where people dress up like an animal, costumes, and fucking shit. Yeah, so in vinyl or rubber. Wow, interesting. Okay, number five.
Along with fetishes, you should always have a sex safety word. So it should be something that's like totally as unrelated to sex as possible, something like bubblegum or like soda pop, like something that has no sexual meaning at all, just in case like someone takes things a little too far, you got that word in your back pocket to stop all actions.
Okay, you just went way over my head with that one. Okay,
well,
so
if things get too out of control or, you know, your partner crosses a line, then you say the sex safety word, and then, you know, you will have discussed this word beforehand, so you and your partner know what the word is, and it's basically an easy way of saying no.
Okay, now, I guess I'm confused. Where does that fall into triple X? Why is that?
Well, because you would probably only use the sex safety word if you're doing something extremely kinky. I mean, it would stop the actions, but it's just a little safety.
Okay. Yeah, without telling the movie, I already mentioned 9.5 weeks. This kind of correlates to that because, yeah, they keep doing these kinky things, but there's one thing they do that goes a little over the top and kind of fucks one of the two partners up. Okay, that was what? Was that number four or number five? Okay, we're going to go to 10. Okay, give me number six in the triple X-rated category.
In a department store dressing room.
Ooh. Now, that's hot.
I'm sure it's something that people have thought about, but most people probably haven't done.
I have not. Again, I've done quite a few things in public venues, but I've not. Yeah, I've thought about it, like you just said. Yeah, that's something I've thought about, but I've never had the balls to actually do it. The closest situation I had involved in a dressing room was, I mean, there's certain places you go into where you suspect that they have, like, hidden cameras, but most places they don't tell you that because I guess there's a lot of legalities that center around that. But this was years ago, but one time I went to a dressing room. And I was trying on these, like, runner's pants, like, similar to, like, spandex-type pants, like what a bicycler would wear or whatever. And for a few seconds, I, from the waist on down, I was literally, like, butt naked. And so I come out, and these two women are, like, giggling and smirking, and I'm basically like, okay, what the fuck is up? And sure enough, they end up admitting that they were watching me in the dressing room. And I was like, wow, you sneaky bastards. But yeah, that would be, that's kind of risky. But that's what makes a lot of sex exciting is when it's risky. Like one thing I've admitted on air that I've done that was in a risky, but I had my dick sucked in a 24-hour grocery store. When I was at IU Bloomington, I went to Indiana University in Bloomington. And one time, yeah, I met this woman in the store. And she started sucking my dick in the aisle of the grocery. It was like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning in a 24-hour grocery store. And we actually got caught, too, by this young stock boy. But, yeah, that was pretty hot. Okay, so dressing room. See, that's another one of those. That's two notches away from the White House. You're going to have somebody arrested in, like, some major department store chain for fucking in. So, that was number six. Let's go with number seven. What would be seven on a triple X hardcore level?
You have to be really committed to vacation sex for this one, because it's on all seven continents. So that would mean going down to Antarctica and getting busy.
Wow. Wow. So they would be doing what in Antarctica?
They'd be fucking in Antarctica.
Oh, say it again.
They'd be fucking in Antarctica.
Yeah. Now, you know, because a lot of guys listen to this show. They're crazy over your voice. So you're going to have a lot of guys jacking off when they listen to the Archive Podcast. And you say, fucking.
Oh, my God. That's embarrassing.
Okay, that was number seven. Number eight.
You could, you know, bring in a whip into the foreplay. And, you know, you can play around with some handcuffs or being blindfolded. Those all go into the sort of fetish category as well.
I have to admit, I have a problem with both of those at the same time. One or the other, but I've never allowed a woman to both handcuff me and blindfold me. I have to admit, I have a phobia about that shit.
I think it should be one or the other.
Yeah, but yeah, I've done both one or the other before, and I've done it to women one or the other too. But yeah, because I've had these two or three women that try to talk me into, you know, basically doing both, saying I'm like, nope, I'm not gonna be blindfolded and anchor. Fuck that. But yeah, whip. Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, number nine.
On a copy machine. So we were talking about, you know, in the office earlier. And this one would be, you would have proof of doing it on a copy machine if you hit the copy button.
Wow. Okay. See, you're naming a lot of stuff. You're making me feel like I'm inexperienced, Courtney.
These are all just ideas.
Because I used to think I was like a seasoned freak and shit, and like, most of the shit you named, I have to say, damn, I ain't never done that shit. No, I ain't never fucked on a copy machine. Okay. So you fuck on a copy machine and you press copy while you fuck it.
So yep.
You can print out and see a picture of you doing what?
Fucking on a copy machine.
Oh, say it again.
Fucking on a copy machine.
Now, what number was that I just did?
That was number 9.
Oh, damn. Went down to the last one? Oh, shit. damn. See, I'm going to have to add on 5 more just to hear you say fucking about 15 more times. Okay, number 10. What's a juicy, triple X-rated, sexy dare from the naughty bucket list?
It's a classic, making a sex tape.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I was teasing, I don't know if you heard my opening, but I was teasing about Kim Kardashian, but
mm-hmm.
I have to admit, half the reason why she blew up was because of her fucking sex tape.
Same with Paris Hilton.
Yeah, I was going to say that, too. It's funny you would say that. That's what I told a friend. I said, if there's two people, in my opinion, that blew up, because of a fucking sex tape. Well, really, 3 people. It's Pamela Sue Anderson,
mm-hmm.
Paris Hilton, and Kim Kardashian. Because I didn't even really know who the fuck Kim Kardashian was until that sex tape came out. And now they say she makes like $60 million a year. I'm like, oh, shit. Get the fuck out of here. Sex tape now.
But there's an easy way to do that, and you can, you know, hook a camera up to your TV, and it'll play. You know, you can have it, like, feed into the TV instead of hitting record, and so that might, you know, save from the worry of a sex tape getting out of your house, but it's just a little safer way to do it, but it still gives you the excitement of watching yourself on camera.
Watching yourself on camera doing what?
Fucking.
Say it again.
Fucking on camera.
Would you like to watch yourself on camera fucking?
No comment.
You are so evasive with your little perky voice. And just give me, this don't have to be in any particular category, give me 3, 4, or 5 more that you think just your readers would find just very unique and interesting, that are just kind of very, I don't know, I don't want to say out of the ordinary. I guess a lot of them be out of the ordinary, but just really are unique.
Well, one of my favorites is to play Dirty Word Scrabble. And so you have a little game night with your partner, and instead of spelling normal words, you can only spell dirty words, like fucking.
Oh, like what?
Fucking.
That's something I would get into, because that's my, well, this was going to be a duh for you, but that's my big thing is dirty words. That's at least 1/3 of what my next book is about. And yeah, matter of fact, me and a woman, I'm going to have to send you the link. Me and a woman about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we got into it about talking dirty. She was so verbally prudish. Yeah, but yeah, that's something I just love to do. I love that. Matter of fact, if there's one type of sex, I always tell women, I don't think I can have. I can't really have sex that where I can't talk dirty. I just would totally lose interest. The only exception I always say is if, like, say me and you hooked up, if I was, say, went over to one of your friends for a Super Bowl party, and we snuck in your friend's basement, and then I start fucking you, and we were trying to keep quiet, then I wouldn't have to necessarily talk dirty. Because just that scenario that we're sneaking and doing something, and we couldn't.
Right.
We'd do it. But other than that type of scenario, yeah, I have to. That's like a prerequisite for me for sex is talking dirty. So anyway, I like that idea, the whole talking dirty Scrabble. That's cool. Okay, give me at least a couple other ones that you think are very, your readers would find to be very unique and creative.
I call it the red light district. So in your bedroom, you would switch out all of the light bulbs and replace them with red bulbs, and it, you know, definitely adds a more sexy atmosphere.
Okay. You know, that's funny. When I was young, back in the day, that was a big thing. Guys used to always want to, whenever, like college, for example, whenever guys knew they were going to be fucking, they would get these things called, what were they called? Like a blue light. Basically a colored light. Yeah, that's what a lot of guys would do when I was in college. They would get colored light bulbs for their room. Yeah. Okay. Okay, and give me one or two more.
Let's see. There's always the classic beach or on the in the ocean.
Man, that's something I haven't done. It's, so you're talking about actually fucking in the ocean?
Yeah.
Yeah, what?
It's a good one. And then, what else? In a crowded movie theater or in an empty movie theater?
I've done one of those two, actually. Yeah. The one I've done would actually kind of fall right in the middle of those two extremes. I've never fucked in a fully crowded movie theater, but it wasn't what I would call totally empty either. It was sparse.
Okay.
Yeah. And I had
Did anyone shush you and tell you to be quiet?
No, I think I was the one shushing her. Yeah, we were watching a movie. I forget what the movie was. And we were like in the third row from the back. And so I don't think there was anybody in any row behind us, but we had some people in rows in front of us. And yeah, she started out stroking my dick. And then I got bold enough to tell her to sit on my lap. And then she slowly rolled my dick while we were in the theater. So what were we doing in the theater?
You're fucking in the movie theater.
Oh, say it again.
Fucking in the movie theater.
So what's been the general feedback from both men? Well, I already heard feedback from your grandmother, but from, like, more of your peers, from males and females, what's been some of your more, I guess, interesting feedback you've gotten from a lot of these ideas?
I mean, everyone has liked it in that it has such a wide range of dares, you know, like it really has everything for everyone. And the guys who have bought it, like my guy friends who have it, they always have said that their girlfriends just love it, which in turn makes them love it because their girlfriends are getting a little more wild and crazy. So, I really haven't heard any negative feedback, and I hope I don't.
Well, I doubt if you hear any negative feedback. Because, like I said, I think the whole book is an excellent idea, particularly for, again, you know, a really long-term couple. I mean, I think any couple that's new, that is just, you know, recently hooked up, just the novelty of it being a new relationship is going to have that natural, you know, excitement. But again, when you've been with somebody, you know, 8 years, 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, 20 years, you got to have some kind of new ideas to keep things very interesting. And I think your book would do. Now, I got to ask you, I don't think I've asked you this, any of your dares, and I doubt if they would, but they might, do any of your dares throw out the idea of a couple adding a third party into the mix?
Yes, there is. There is threesome in the book. And there's also just having a three-way kiss.
A three-way kiss. I've done that quite a few times, yeah. That's hot. Okay. All right, yeah, because that's always one of those, best word would be risky. That's always one of those risky, I mean, I'll say this. I've seen that scenario go in both directions. I've seen it really, really, really lead to something that's really, really hot and memorable that left all involved, you know, talking about it for days, weeks, and months. Then I've known of a few situations where, you know, there was some regret on one of the two partners, one of the three people involved. And, but I think if you're in a long-term relationship, there has to be serious trust, you know, involved whenever you bring somebody else in. Other than just generally promoting your book, do you have any interesting, I don't know, like speaking events, projects coming up, anything that's related to your book you got coming up?
Not really. Just thinking of book number two ideas, figuring out what I can, you know, write next. You know, maybe there will be a sequel to this someday, because when I wrote it, I actually brainstormed, I think, close to 500 ideas, so we cut it down a little bit. So there's certainly a lot of things that aren't on
the list. Wait. Time out. You came up with how many ideas?
I think it was close to 500, 450 or 500.
Wow. Your mind was, either your mind was really ticking or you was getting a lot of suggested ideas from friends and acquaintances. That's a lot of ideas.
Yeah, yes it is. There's a lot of stuff you can do.
Related to?
Fucking.
So tell my listeners where they can find you on the World Wide Web and where they can pick up your book.
Well, I am on Twitter at Courtney Jason, and that's Courtney with a K. And my book is on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com and in Barnes & Noble stores.
Okay. Well, listen, Courtney, it has been a true pleasure talking to you, and I'm going to recommend your book to just about everybody I know, particularly those in long-term relationship. But I'm going to tell them, I'm going to say, do not be trying to fuck in the White House. You're going to get shot.
Well, thank you so much, Alan.
Yeah. Hey, and I want you to hold on the line because I want to ask you something off the air. But listeners, that will do it for our show tonight. Join me next week when I will welcome a woman named Valerie. I'm forgetting the name. Oh, no. Valerie J. Lewis Coleman. Now, she has something I feel like I want to say is loosely similar to what we talked about tonight, but maybe it's totally different. Her concept is called the Forbidden Secrets of the Goodie Box. The Forbidden Secrets of the Goodie Box. And that will be my discussion next week. Until then, have a safe and enjoyable weekend, and I will see you next week.
Thank you.